Good morning. It's March 12th. It is a beautiful sunny morning in New York City. Going to be a mild day, although the heater keeps gurgling in the background, regardless. And this is your Indignity Morning Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Skoka, taking a look at the day and the news. Special Counsel Robert Hur, or former Special Counsel Robert Hur, is on his way to testify before Congress today about what he found when he investigated Joe Biden. To prepare for his appearance, Hur resigned from the Justice Department, thereby removing himself from its professional limitations on his testimony, and surrounded himself with right-wing operatives. The New York Times, in advance of Hur's appearance, obtained what it calls a lightly redacted transcript of Hur's interview sessions with Biden, the conversations on the basis of which Hur reported that the president suffered meaningful memory lapses and speculated that any criminal charges would be defeated by Joe Biden portraying himself as a confused elderly man. The transcript, the Times reports, shows Biden fumbling some dates, and at one point apparently not remembering what a fax machine was called. But the Times writes, otherwise appearing clear-headed, and it notes that Hur appeared to omit portions of the conversation in which Biden corrected his own misstatements. At one point, the Times notes, when Mr. Biden provided a lengthy description of the layout of his house in Delaware, Mr. Hur observed that Mr. Biden appeared to have a photographic understanding and recall of the house. That double and there is the Times' fidelity to the transcript. So, the part about Biden's photographic recall did not make it into the report. Probably it just slipped Robert Hur's mind, as details sometimes will. The Washington Post is reporting that in the long-running, ever-evolving relationship between Donald Trump and Elon Musk, Trump tried to get Musk to buy Truth Social, his wildly unpopular social media platform. Musk did not buy it. The story notes that Truth Social's parent company, Trump Media, is on the verge of becoming a public company potentially worth billions of dollars. It doesn't really articulate where that value is going to come from, but that's where the business discourse stands at the moment. In today's physical New York Times, the lead story is some classic New York Times political analysis. Biden's budget meant to draw a line versus Trump. Subhead, little chance to pass. Sub-subhead, increase in taxes on the rich and expanded government aid. It's true that with a Republican majority in control, barely, of the House of Representatives, Joe Biden can probably not get his budget passed. But it seems a little strange to characterize a budget plan, a set of proposals for the actual spending of money on government activity, as primarily a feat of messaging in a political contest. The Times describes the budget as packed with tax increases on corporations and high earners, new spending on social programs, and a wide range of efforts to combat high consumer costs like housing and college tuition. So that's an agenda. Like, the primary import of it is that if he's reelected and the Democrats get control of the House back, this is the program of taxing and spending that the government will pursue. Why this compulsion to treat first-order politics as second-order politics? On the opposite side of the front page, many Muslims find holy site out of bounds. It's Ramadan, and Israel is restricting access to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, a policy which has never once brought about any trouble before. Inside the paper, on page A9, for Gazans, celebrations of Ramadan will be hard. I know the Times means well here, but yeah, you think? The 2.2 million people who've been bombed out of their homes and are starving under siege and facing the constant threat of more military attacks, they're not having a very festive holiday. Elsewhere on page 1, an investigation by Cashmere Hill finds that the auto industry has been monitoring its customers' driving and then selling the data companies like LexisNexis, which in turn sell it to the insurance companies, which then jack up the rates on the customers. Programs that are supposed to provide driver feedback to help people become safer at the wheel are instead being used for surveillance and exploitation. The amounts of money involved are relatively puny, but if you can betray customers' trust and squeeze an extra dollar out of what they thought was their privacy, you just have to go ahead and do it. And on page A8, the Times looks at the now-retracted Kate Middleton family photo, with markups showing the inconsistencies in the rendering of the still-missing princess and her children, which are certainly real, which is why the photo was taken back. but are almost entirely unintelligible in a murky, slightly out of register package of newspaper photographs. Newsprint is a wonderful and irreplaceable medium, but not for this. That is the news. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to Indignity to keep us going. And if all goes well, we'll talk again tomorrow.